Recorded Books presents The Charmed Friends of Trove Isle by Annie Raines, narrated by Therese Plummer. To Bree Johnson, from Liz Dawson. Subject: I might be losing my mind. Bree, I had a dream about the charm bracelet last night. Funny, I haven't thought about it in ages, but I guess some memories just creep up on you like that. Do you ever wonder where we'd all be if we hadn't lost it? Would we all still be the kind of forever friends we'd promised to stay, passing the bracelet back and forth like we'd said we would? I'd like to think so. I'd like to imagine the links would be full by now, telling a story of adventures, friendship, and maybe even love. That Alyssa would be alive, probably singing somewhere on Broadway. Melody would have stayed on Trove Isle, bossing us all around like she's good at. And you would be here too. Anyway, e-messages are fine, but I miss seeing your face. I'll come visit soon. XX, Liz. P.S. Little sisters are not meant to be roommates. Having Rose stay with me while my parents are in Ecuador might prove to be the longest 6 weeks of my life. Then again, you've been away for 4 years now, and that has felt like a lifetime. I can't wait for July when you finally come home. It's too bad it can't be all three of us, but I'm 99.9% sure Melody will never return to Trove Isle. Chapter 1. Melody. Melody Palmer pulled up to the address in her GPS and parked along the curb. The sign above the awning read, "Hidden Treasures," in large golden block letters. The word treasure brought visions of jewelry or fancy clothing to mind. It conjured images of special knickknacks or mementos that one might find in a fancy gift shop, which was what Melody had assumed she'd inherited. This store and its sign, however, reminded her of a pawn shop. She swallowed past a tight throat and reached for a bottled water in the center console, taking several long sips. She was meeting with a lawyer here in just a few minutes to sign the papers and make this place hers. When Mr. Lime had called last week to inform her that, surprise, she was the new owner of a store that her great-aunt Jo had willed to her in Trove Isle, North Carolina, Melody's first remark had been, "I thought someone had to die to will you something." After a long pause, the lawyer had cleared his throat and responded in a thick southern accent, "My condolences, Miss Palmer." So great-aunt Jo was dead. The realization that her father's aunt was gone still knocked the breath out of Melody when she thought about it. She hadn't seen Jo in 9 years, but the fact that she never would again stung. After Melody's mother had died when Melody was 11, Jo had picked up the slack on the things that moms did, like teaching Melody and her sister Alyssa, who was 1 year younger, about boys and puberty, having at-home spa days that were unconventional, to say the least, and making butterscotch tea when they'd had a bad day. When Melody had left her small Ocean Isle town at 18, she'd left everyone behind, including Jo. Pushing her car door open, Melody stepped out onto the sidewalk of Seagull Street. She'd been impressed when she'd heard the address. This was prime realty in the little Isle town. Unlike the other beachfront towns nearby, Trove Isle wasn't a touristy hotspot. It was too small to accommodate many out-of-towners, and most people had never heard of Trove. For those who lived here, though, Seagull Street was the place to be. It had everything a town might need, and maybe a little of what it didn't need. Melody looked at the storefront again. Jo hadn't owned this place before Melody left town. Instead, Melody's great aunt had worked odd jobs, scraping money together to barely make ends meet. When Melody had heard Jo left her a store, she'd assumed her great aunt had finally found success.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?